All right. Well, today is Tuesday, February 6th, 2018. We are doing Strong From Within, and we are talking about strengths today. And for our opening, I'm going to read a piece out of the book Thriving Work, and it's called Voice of the Divine. I remember in this moment that I am the voice of the divine, the ears of the divine, the hands of the divine, the feet of the divine, and the face of the divine. And dare I say, the strengths of the divine. And so we begin. So Janet, what's your sense? Do you want to kind of make it up as we go? You want me to get us started? What would be most helpful to you?
Why don't you get us started?
All right. Well, since Ephraim reminded me a few weeks ago that it's great to do these in more than one sitting, I actually just finished my second sitting. And it was really interesting because for maximizer and individualization, I only came up with one thing the first time around. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And so then by the second time I did it, I was a little more warmed up. And it's so interesting. Oh, I had only come up with one for activator too, which I thought was crazy. And then when I did it the second time, I only came up with another one, but my second one was my favorite thing about activator, that my ability to move people in a direction that serves them and develops them, that's pure activator. And it's such a better use than that diving in the pool and then seeing if there's any water thing. And it's just curious to me that because we are swimming in our own strengths, this was way harder than I thought it would be. And so I think I'm going to go for a third one tomorrow because this is where our power is. So it was kind of humbling to me that I'm pretty aware. My guess is I could have made a longer list about my immature use of maximizer being a crazy-ass perfectionist. And it took me a while to realize that, oh, because I have maximizer, I don't settle, and I have a life filled with greatness. It's like, oh, yeah. So this whole thing was a little curious to me.
Yeah. At first, I did it fairly quickly. But now that I'm trying to think of what I did before, I'm coming up with completely different things, I think, too.
Oh,
so
cool. Well, that's excellent. That means, well, you have a lot of ideas. Fantastic.
Yeah. I always have lots of ideas.
I found, I don't know if I've shared with you guys that somewhere along the line, probably when Activator and Maximizer were tending to get me in a lot of trouble, I really firmly decided that until further notice, connectedness was my strength in charge. And
yeah,
there's never even been a hint of notice. It's like, that was such a great idea. And not surprisingly, it's the one that I had the most for. That I don't even know. Like, I often wonder how people get through life without strategic. You know, they're probably bumbling around a lot. But it's never occurred to me to think that about connectedness. And Man, I would be sad and lonely without connectedness.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Well, of course, that's what it does for you, is connect you. So.
Seriously. And I didn't even end up getting into the people thing. About connectedness, what I wrote that I loved is knowing that I'm never alone, knowing that I am so much more than this incarnation, feeling connected to nature, having extraordinary experiences. I've had, I don't know, maybe a couple dozen in my life, but they seemed nothing short of miraculous, where I just, for a period of time, sort of floated through life like I was Eckhart Tolle or something, and, you know, then I'd come crashing back to Earth a few hours later. But pretty amazing, you know, like, huh, okay, so this is what it's like when I'm not all invested in my ego, and this is what it's like when I'm actually experiencing oneness. So, yeah, yeah, if I had to pick a winner of all winners, it would definitely be connectedness.
I like that one, too.
Where is it for you? Do you remember?
I think it's 6.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And I wonder if people look at their top 5 and have a favorite, or look at all of them. I remember when I first looked at the list and I looked at my 34 in order, I so badly wanted focus high, and it's like 29. I don't even remember why. Why did I think focus was so great? But boy, I did for a while.
Yeah, not attracted to that one as much, but I would like some of it, not all of it though.
You would like a portion of focus?
Yes.
That's so strategic thinking strengths of you. Too much focus, your world would narrow. Oh no.
Too much focus, I would never leave my house, I don't think.
I hear you.
It's connected, this one's interesting to me, just because I've always thought of the world as like a huge spider web.
Mm.
And maybe even the universe is a spider web and everything is connected to everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when I was little, I kind of remember thinking that.
Wow. You
know, everything is weird and connected, and I don't know where that came from.
Your knowing, the ethers.
My knowing, I guess.
The great connection.
Probably the great connection and being a kid and being open to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that makes me feel like, maybe there were some other things going on in my life at the time I took the test, but the connectedness didn't end up in the top 5.
Well, and really, I've never heard anything from Gallup that says the top 5 is the end-all, be-all. I would imagine 6, 7, 8 could be just as important, or it could depend on what you're up to, or they could shuffle around a bit. I can't believe, well, I claim my top 6 because taking the assessment twice, it was all the same except for Activator was in one and not the other, and Strategic was in the other. So I do my top 6, and it's, also, it's very clear to me that I have the gifts of both of those, right? So,
yes.
I don't know. People are always really curious, like, well, so when you get beyond that, how far can you go? And so when I think to, I ask people who have their 34 report, when they look at 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, where does it stop for them? And for me, it definitely stops, I think, after 13 or maybe 14. I think the one just beyond where I don't relate anymore is learner. And learner is super broad, and I appreciate learning. But, you know, it's not like, oh, yeah. Sometimes I think to pull up learner and, you know, I really do something different because it's a strength. So that's where I drew the line for me. And so I've asked lots of people, and it seems it's somewhere between 11 and 15. Oh, yeah, so I just pulled up my report. Wu is number 14. And, you know, if I really pull it out, I can woo. And more importantly, before that is 13 is command. And I'm very aware that in certain situations, I use command like it's in my top five. And it's emergencies. It's where somebody's really done something that I need to let them know it's not okay, you know. So it certainly isn't my natural way of being, but it's pretty well used. So that's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we digress. How did I get us clear off in this rabbit trail?
I don't know. I probably did it.
Yes, you are a good instigator in that regard. But you said something that I wanted to go back to. Oh, known since you were a kid. So it made me curious when you said that. Oh, because you were talking about why was connectedness six, and I think it's perfectly fine that connectedness is six for you and that you clearly have a strong relationship with it.
Yeah.
As if it were in your top five.
Yeah, I think I do too.
And that made me wonder, since you were aware of a whole stream of thinking around connectedness since you were a kid, were we aware of all of our strengths? So now I've pulled up your 34. So when you look at your input, adaptability, learner, activator, ideation, can you think of times of being a kid when those were busy at work?
I think the only one I don't think I was really aware of was activator.
Interesting. Okay. What age do you think you were when you became aware of it? Like being a teenager, can you think of?
I don't know. Maybe I was doing it when I was a kid. I like to make people do stuff, but.
Well, that's kind of activator. As a kid,
Go ahead.
As a kid, you like to make people do stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that's activator.
I thought that was just being bossy, but.
Well, maybe not.
I probably was aware of all of them.
Okay.
But maybe not activator. I mean, maybe not as much as, you know, when I was doing it, what I was doing with it. But I mean, you know, like ideation and input and adaptability and learner were definitely part of my life. And of course, that's, you know, looking back as being an adult, looking back as a kid, I can see those things happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Can you think of things when you were a kid about what your strengths are?
Yeah, for sure. Probably one of my favorite strategic stories is when I was a kid, I'm the oldest of five, and my two sisters closest to me are really close in age, so we're 2.5 years apart, all three of us. And then we had a friend who was the age of my sister, who's a year younger than me. And the four of us girls together built three different forts, variations of the same fort. Like, we built one in her yard, and then her parents said, we don't want it here anymore. So we decided to try and roll it over to our yard, and it was made out of 2x4s and plywood. By the time we got it to our yard, you know, it needed a lot of repair. So then we just built a new one, and then we decided to get more elaborate, and we built a two-story one. But I was really mad because my dad wouldn't let us use the power tools. So Strategic came up with this brilliant idea where we'd nail the plywood onto the frame, and then the extra we would just jump on it until it would break off, which is probably far more dangerous than power tools because it came off in shards, you know. It was really quite ugly. But then we'd just, you know, cut those little shards. That was much easier than cutting the whole board. And I suppose that was, you know, maximizer to a certain degree and activator. Like, we got to get this fort built. What's a faster way? And we did that when I was probably 10 to 12.
Yeah.
And I'm sure empathy was a survival strength. My mom was really absent a lot, and I monitored her absence. She was physically there, but, you know, mentally
yes.
not there. And so I monitored her mood a lot. So not the greatest use of empathy for a kid, but I'm sure a lot of kids got their empathy started that way.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. Well,
it's funny. I was just thinking, I told this story on our podcast, but about something about how I specifically can remember as a kid, when I was a kindergartner, that there was this coloring contest for Christmas, and I wanted to win. My achiever was poking its head a pretty close there,
mm-hmm.
because I needed to be the best. And I knew specifically that I needed to color it like everyone, like the adults all expected it to look like to win.
Oh, your maximizer at work.
Maximizer and...
adaptability.
Yeah. And I knew that I was, if I wanted to color it, it would have been, you know, Santa would have had a purple beard or something, you know, funky. But since I wanted to win and it was a contest, I chose to do it as expected.
Do you remember thinking that?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
I was in kindergarten, so I was 5.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
And I think I remember it because I actually knew I chose to go against my own
nature
to do it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I wouldn't have, like, colored it perfectly right for everybody else if I was just coloring.
Yeah.
And then Gina came up with, and she said, well, you know, that's what you do for a living, right?
Oh, boy.
So fantastic. When I do graphic design for people and design for people, I don't necessarily do what I want to do and what I think would be the best. Sometimes I go, oh, okay, that's what you want? All right.
I can do that. And I want to achieve that payment, so sure.
Yeah, it's just, I was like, that's really been on my mind lately. It's like, wow, I chose a profession where I had to do that one thing that I remember doing as a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, I knew I was compromising myself almost. It's weird.
As a 5-year-old, you knew that?
I mean, well, I knew I wasn't doing it the way I wanted to do it. I was doing it
yeah.
the way everyone else wanted it.
Yeah. So you might not have known the word compromise, but you knew what needed to be done at 5.
Yeah.
That's pretty astonishing. And it's astonishing that you remember it. Clearly, that was important for you.
It was important for me, and I think about it every so often, and it's like, wow, that's weird. But now that Gina's put that other spin on it about my whole profession, it's like, huh.
Wow. And, of course, it begs to be asked, you did win, right?
Well, of course.
Well, of course. You weren't going to mention that.
Well, I don't know. I guess I was.
Hilarious.
I just forgot about that part, but yes, I won.
Yes, yes, of course. She says matter-of-factly. Fantastic. Oh, my gosh. So I think I've talked about all of mine. Do you have your new ideas you want to share about what you love about yours?
Sure. For input, I love that I have the ability to find information that is needed for almost any situation.
Yes.
And then I have the, and then I have the instinct or the intuition to know when to share the information I've found.
Is that part of input?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a curating aspect, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. I did not really know that.
I think I just figured that out, I don't know, not very long ago. I happened to be reading about it. We were talking about it. I was talking about it to somebody, and we were reading about input. And then I went, oh, yeah, that makes sense, because I do that. I save things because I think that I might need it later to help somebody or something.
And then you do tend to remember you have it when you run across that person.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. It's weird. I mean, I like, and it's, after I put those two together, it makes more sense to me. I'm not just being a hoarder of information. I'm doing it for a reason.
Absolutely.
Not that hoarders aren't doing it for a reason, but...
Perhaps a different reason.
This is a different reason, maybe. They're not going to share it later. So, that put a different spin on input for me recently, maybe. And then adaptability. Of course, I just love that I can flow with the energy of life kind of easily. And that sometimes when I'm interrupted, it doesn't really disrupt my life. Like I can be interrupted, you know, 12 times a day and still get back to what I was doing. Most times.
That's a gift. And see, that's actually different than focus, but does some of the same thing.
True. I mean, I always think about, like, at all the jobs I've had, you know, people will, you know, walk in and say, I need this right now. And I'll go, okay, here you go. And then I'll just go back to what I was doing. And so it's, you know, I guess some people would call that like multitasking or something, but to me it's just being more adaptable and not, you know, there's other people I've seen at places I've worked where like you interrupt them and they just get really pissed off and it throws them completely out of whack.
And actually that is the difference between you with adaptability and people with focus. They do not like to be interrupted. So that's wonderful.
Oh, good. So I don't really need that focus that's way down on the list.
There you go. You really don't.
And then for learners, I really just like the fact that I can continue to learn throughout my whole life and I don't get like, I hopefully won't get stuck in some place and won't have any more growth. And maybe I'm thinking about learners even more so as like just personal development than, you know, I don't know. Maybe not. I've learned about new stuff all the time, but as far as like computers and different things too. So I just like that I'm able to continue to learn and know new things. And it's not always distracting, you know, like frustrating. Sometimes it is.
But then adaptability kicks in.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, I guess I know that's the problem.
Mm.
Of course, sometimes I think it's activator is kicked in on learner, and I just want to know it right now.
Meaning if something is more complex, activator's expecting you to kind of have it in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. That makes sense.
So it's kind of like learners sandwiched between adaptability and activator there. So it's kind of, I think both of them kind of affect it for sure. And then activator, I said something similar to what you said about Activator, like being able to help other people get started and move towards, I think I said I move toward their passion or what they love. And so I like that part of it. I mean, I understand Activator on overdrive is when I'm like clapping at people trying to make them move faster, but
yeah.
But I do like the fact that I can like kind of guide someone towards another, you know, to get themselves to move to or towards a new idea or something.
Yep.
That wasn't said as eloquently as yours was, but I really liked what I said before. It was very nice.
It was eloquent when you wrote it.
And then, ideation, I like the fact that I can come up with a gazillion ideas.
Exactly.
And that I'm not usually completely without an idea of something. Sometimes it takes just longer to get to the ideas, but I can usually come up with however many we need.
The way you're describing it, it makes me think of, you have this actual bag of tricks that you can count on. You can find anything through input, and you can come up with as many ideas as are needed until whatever is addressed. It's like this bounty, this abundance of resources.
Oh, that's true. That's funny. I didn't even think about that. Input is probably where I get the ideas from.
Ah, good point. It might be like some of your raw material. And you look at so many things, you probably connect disparate things that other people wouldn't.
Yeah. I've always thought that's kind of my magic, is I can do that. I can, get ideas from totally weird places that don't have anything to do with what the idea turns out to be, and kind of conglomerate them all together.
Yeah. So I'll bet you input's helping out there for sure.
Yeah. I think it all does, though. I mean, that's a look at it. The adaptability helps and the learner helps. And
mm-hmm.
The Activator gets it moving.
Yep. On a good day, keeps you moving.
Yeah.
If it's not impatiently running off to the next thing.
True.
It is fun. The deeper and deeper I go with strengths, the harder it is to only look at one strength by itself, because I'm sure you are a fundamentally different person because you have both ideation and input than if you had only one of those and you had some other strength that was not related. And of course, then there'd be the genius in that. It would just be a different genius.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm constantly kind of now looking at people's strengths as, ooh, what's really here when you stir them all together? And of course, that's what we'll be talking about next month.
I'm starting to think that way too.
Really?
Yeah. Even, with myself and with other people, it's always interesting. Oh, that's what's together? Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Like somebody Dean and I were talking about, and I don't even remember who it was, but I think they had deliberative and Activator in their top five. And I cannot imagine at all how that goes together.
Yes, I knew one real person once who did have both, and it was interesting and challenging for her. And they're not as opposite as you think, when you actually see it in action, because the things she would be deliberative about were different than the things she was activating, or, you know, after she deliberated enough, then she did activate, which is different than somebody who has deliberative but doesn't have activator, right?
Oh, so, true.
Yeah. I thought it was a very hard road for her, but she didn't think that, you know, so that was interesting.
Yeah, well, and it probably mattered what the other strengths were, too. But I don't know. To me, it was just one of those things that I hadn't thought about. It was like, wow, that seems like it'd be really hard to get those together. But it makes sense that they would be working on different things at the same time.
Yeah. And it's easy to think of them as opposites when they aren't exactly.
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of nuance. You know, now that we've been working with each of the strengths for so long and have a pretty good understanding of them, then it's like, okay, well, what's really here that when you mix this together, and not even just when you mix your top strengths or I mix mine, but now we're collaborating and we have the individual strengths you have and the individual ones I have with a teeny bit of overlap. I think the only one we actually overlap on is activator and then your connectedness number 6. But so together we would do completely different things, and then that's kind of cool. It's like, oh, before there was 100 million possibilities. Now put the two of us together, there's 100 billion possibilities. It's pretty cool to think about.
It is really cool.
So I was, go ahead.
I know that when Gina and I work together, we kind of understand our own strengths and each other's strengths, but I didn't really consider the whole blending of them.
Yeah, like what's possible.
It creates a whole new soup.
It does. And I imagine you don't just throw all 10 of them together, because it's still you with your set and her with her different set. But I think there's more possibility there than we recognize. And also something I read recently, I just finished a book on couples and strengths. And he brought up something that I've noticed for a long time but had never put voice to it. And that is, if your partner or someone you spend a ton of time around, like for you, maybe Zach or Gina, you would have some of their strengths way higher. I don't even know if you retook the test if their strengths would show up higher, but you have the ability to access their strengths more than you would if they weren't in your life, because you sort of swim in their environment sometimes too.
And so you kind of know what those are.
Yes, yes.
So your body and your brain recognize them.
Yes. So I'm going to look for me to see where deliberative is, because it's really low. Deliberative. Yeah, 29. Deliberative is 29 for me. And, of course, activator is 4. But my niece, Alicia, has... What's that?
It's 33 for me.
Okay, so same thing, right? You have no relationship with it. My niece, Alicia, has deliberative, and my sweetie, Gary, has deliberative. And they both approach it differently. She's extremely cautious about decision-making. So, you know, I've had to sit through that agonizing process enough. And I also see the value. And he does things like, we get up from the table at a restaurant, and he looks under the table to see what we've left. I'm like, huh? But now I do it even if he's not there. Because occasionally we do leave something. And so that's just fascinating to me. It's like, because I spend so much time with each of them, it's not natural for me, but they've basically trained me, you know? Like, now that I've told you, you could look under a table if you liked. And you probably won't remember, right? But if there's some reason you do remember, you'll giggle and then you'll look. And if you found something, that might be kind of exciting, right? So it's just very curious to me that I still think if I took the test today, deliberative wouldn't be any higher because I don't come up with the stuff. I just basically memorized it, right?
So, yeah, and it became a habit, sort of.
Exactly. Yeah, one day Alicia asked me if I'll make her student loan payment for her because she's going to be blah, 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 I don't know. I'm like, sure, okay. And so I'm like, what's your password? She's like, oh, I can't tell you that. I'm like, well, you're going to have to if you want me to do this. Well, I know, but that's privileged information. I'm like, yeah, and you trust me more than anyone in the world? Why are we having this conversation? And there it was, deliberative at work. And, of course, finally she had to tell me her password, and she probably changed it, you know, right after I did that.
Yep.
Okay. Good to know. Deliberative at its finest. All right. Well, anything else about what you love about your strengths before we close?
I just think it's interesting that we keep learning more about them, and I think it's kind of that awareness thing. The more you're aware of them, the more you notice them.
It's true. And to me, it was tricky thinking about spending 3 weeks on strengths because we've done so much. It's like, well, what can we do? And then when this worksheet came about, I'm like, I've never thought about what I love about my strengths. I just do them, right? And then when it was challenging, it's like, that's interesting. And then it's like, oh, I actually get to fall in love with myself a little bit because I've spent way more time criticizing myself for over-empathizing, jumping in way too many pools that didn't have any water in them, maximizing things until I was going insane and it was really minutia, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very well aware of those. I could do that worksheet in a second. But this, I'm just staring at it like, well, I like maximizer because I maximize things. Yeah, that's a little dull. Come on, dig deeper. And then it turns out there's stuff here. It's so great.
Yeah, I like that idea that, yeah, we're looking at the things we love about our strengths. Because, yeah, I go the other way all the time. It's like, damn, activator, just get started on things and I never get them finished. And
yep. Yeah. So, a little more focus on what's good. Yay, us.
Yay.
All right. I'm just going to end in a similar way with a piece of the same prayer, knowing that we are the voice of the divine. I remember in this moment that I am the voice of the divine, the ears of the divine, the eyes of the divine, the hands of the divine, the feet of the divine, and the face of the divine, and each and every one of my strengths of the divine. So yay, thank you for showing up today.
Sure. Thanks for the reminder.
Of course. I'll see you next week.
All right.
All right. Bye, Janet.
Bye. Thanks.
You bet.